Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Fantastic. This is Pentecost Sunday. And there's a story that a man, maybe you've heard this or you've thought about it. He went to the south. He went south of the Mason-Dixon line. And when he went down there, they have a unique food down there that you seem to only be able to find in the south. And he ordered a plate of breakfast, some scrambled eggs, the normal fare. And on his plate came a small pile of white, crunchy things. And he asked the waitress, he said, "Excuse me, what are these?" She said, "Well, those are grits." And he looked at them, he tasted them, and they tasted fine, they were great. And he said, "So explain to me, can you help me, what is a grit?" And she said, "Oh, no, there is no such thing as grit. There are only grits, because they always come together." And when we come together for church and we come together as part of a community, we think about that. What is a Christian? Well, Christian is a community. It is bonding together. John Wesley was kind of famous for saying that the Bible knows nothing of solitary religion. That to be isolated, to be a grit, is to be all alone, to be out by yourself. We are, and maybe this would probably be the only thing that you take away from this little meditation. Maybe the only thing you remember is we're all grits. We're combined together to make a difference in the world. And I love this image of what Pentecost is. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about, especially during this season of Easter, we've been talking about how does our faith really just come alive? What is it that takes us from, you know, just a match in a box to something that just catalyzes and just comes alive and is filled with that sense of joy? And it's today. It is this moment that God has given to us and given to the people, and we're carrying that tradition on. What we're all about as a church is taking that message of what we can do together. When the youth show pictures like that, they capture just glimpses. I mean, they're only just snippets of time that are trying to give you a glimpse into a bigger story. And when we come together, that story begins to unfold, and we're able to share that fullness with our children and our community and inviting them to be a part of what we're doing. So this morning I'm going to take just a few moments to share the story of Pentecost with you as found in Acts chapter 2. And there's a couple parts of this that I want you to pay particular attention to. It's the story that changed the world as we know it. It begins in chapter 2. And I didn't put up, because I didn't know how much time I was going to have, so all of the normal stuff you're not going to see on the screen. It's the second day. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Somehow fitting on a day like today. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And tongues of fire and divided tongues as of fire appeared among them. A tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the crowd gathered in and was bewildered, because each of them heard him speaking in the native tongue of each. But Peter was standing among the 12, and he raised his voice and he addressed them. And he said, "Men of Judah and all living in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. On your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoke in their midst. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is God's word for his people. Let us thank God in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we ask that as the Spirit comes among us, it challenges us and awakens us to your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there are three things that I want you to get out of this passage that I think, if you embrace it and you really live in that Pentecostal spirit. One of the things that happens I find fascinating is when we talk about going Pentecostal, we often mean like we're going over the top. Oftentimes that word is used almost in a derogatory sense, but in the Pentecostal spirit, people began to do things that they never dreamed possible. So if we can embrace that spirit of Pentecost, there's some changes that are going to happen in our lives. The first thing that Peter talks about through the prophet Joel is what is the thing that's going to motivate us? We have now a purpose in our lives. He said, when the Spirit comes upon you, you're going to dream dreams. You're going to see visions. You're going to believe in yourself again. You're going to say, in Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're going to have a purpose to your life. So often, I think that as we pick up the newspaper every day, we see life just changing. And we say, where is my life going? Does it have a plan? Does God have a plan? Or am I just going through a series of random events that somehow are not strung together? But when the Spirit comes upon you, we dream dreams. We think about what is possible. What could happen? What could we do together? And it unites us together. What are the dreams that you have? What is the purpose for which God has called you? God has called you to enter into a life-changing relationship, not just for yourself, but to join with others. To begin to change, to look around your community, to look around the world and said, this isn't the way it's supposed to be, but I believe it could be different. The first thing that Pentecost allows us to do is to have a purpose to our lives. It's not just about your career. It's just not about what you have in the bank. It's not about how much you have. It's about where you're going. And through Pentecost, God said, we're now moving forward. The first thing that we get is a sense of purpose. The second thing that happened, obviously, to all of the disciples is once they had a purpose, they had a passion. This is what we're about. When we began our meetings and began talking about what we could do as a result of our combining together in the lives of the boys in Haiti, you began to see people perk up. We could do that. We could touch people's lives. That's what we're about. And we began to reach out with a sense of purpose and passion. People rallied behind that. When we look down here at all these candles, if you remember last week, we talked about having the nets, the malaria nets. And each of these candles represents between 3 and 4 nets. So each one is like a little family. And when we talked about we could make a difference in people's lives, we don't have to just live for ourselves. We can live for others. We can begin to be the people that contribute to the lives of others. When we begin to share that way, we have a passion about what we can do together. God has created in us a spirit of generosity, a spirit of community, and a spirit of covenant relationship. When you have a purpose in your life, you will find a passion that will fill all of those voids. So let me ask you real quick, what is your purpose? What is the guiding principle of your life? What is guiding your choices? Do you have passion for it? or are you kind of lacking a sense of every day is another Monday, and I just are going through the motions? Do you have a passion for what you can do and what we can do together? Are you able to share that passion with other people? Are you able to awaken them to the possibilities of combining and sharing our gifts and our talents? Because here's the last part. When that begins to happen, that candle begins to burn in your soul, and you have a purpose, you have passion, and you have power. There's nothing that can stop you. Now, granted, we all have setbacks, but those setbacks are intended to make you desire it even more. How bad do you want it? If somebody were to say, no, I don't think we should, do you give up and roll over, or do you say, I think we should? I got to keep pushing. I got to learn from my mistakes, and I got to get better. I got to get wiser. I want to hear from critics because they make me smarter. They help me to look at the whole thing. When that begins to happen, you have a power that is a force to be reckoned with. In the early church, when the disciples gathered together, Peter gathers them together and he said, don't you see, this is what God is doing in the world. Peter had a purpose now for his life and for everything that had happened. Even the betrayal of Jesus now came into full context. Even his failures began to have value to him because they shaped his destiny. He had a passion. This is Peter, who was a fisherman, is now standing up, and people are looking at him and saying, isn't he an uneducated fisherman from Galilee? But his passion captivated the minds and the hearts of the people that are around us. We're looking for people that are ready to strike a match, that are ready to catch fire, that are tired of sitting in the matchbox with all of the potential in the world, but none of the heat or the light. Are you ready to catch fire? Because when that happens, the power of God just enters in and you'll feel a sense of movement. Peter and all of the apostles went through some horrendous things. And you look at the martyrs and you said, how did they do it? Because they had a purpose and passion and power. They were unrelenting. They knew where they were going, and they were going to see it through. Have we lost some of that power, some of that energy? Are you ready to recapture some of that? Are you ready to catch fire and allow God to do that? On Pentecost, say, come, Holy Spirit, into my life. Fill me again with your Spirit. Let me catch fire. And then engage in the ministries and allow the light and the heat from others to burn within you. Being a part-time Christian is not being a Christian at all. Being a part-time grit is not being a meal at all. When you think about your own faith, your own faith journey, what God is calling you to, are you participating in the mission and the ministries, or are you just kind of waiting for your day before God? Let us pray. Father God, on this Holy Spirit day, we give you thanks for the gifts that you give to us, and we pray, O God, that you'll continue to work within us by the power of your Spirit. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we also are called to give thanks for our worship team, for all those that give tirelessly. Now, if you look in your bulletin, you're going to see a whole printout to the best of our knowledge. And if I have forgotten anybody, and inevitably I have, I'm sorry. What I invite you to do very calmly is make a note and just let us know so that we can include you in our list so that we know of your service. It's not that we're not valuing your service. We just want you to be a part of what we're doing. When we think about worship, what is it that you think about? When you think about worship, what is it that you think about? I was listening earlier this week about the power of worship. Why do we worship? And when you think about it, Because what you worship, you eventually become. What you admire, you emulate. All you have to do is pick up a magazine, some of the popular magazines, particularly those that are at the checkout counter. And what are they doing? They're going to try and sell you something, whether it's makeup, it's fashion, whether it's hairstyles, whether it's makeup, whatever it is, they're going to try and sell you something that will make you look just like this person. If you want to look like a celebrity, this is what you have to do. Whatever you worship, whatever you admire, whatever you focus your attention upon, you will eventually take on those characteristics. So if you are one of those people that you look for every People magazine that comes through because you want to know what the celebrities are up to, you will take on those characteristics. If you follow all of the reality TV shows, the Paris Hiltons and the Kardashians, and you say, oh, that's amazing. You will take on those characteristics very subtly, but they will become embedded in who you are. When we gather every week, we're here every week. When we gather every week, we gather because we open up and said, this is what I would like my life to look like. And I want to model it after these things. And so we gather in worship in order to do that. Now, when you look through that list, you'll see that it's a pretty substantial list. There's a lot of people that gather, that give their time, their talents, their wisdom, their decorative abilities, all these candles, the altars, the decorations that you see around the sanctuary in order to allow you and me to enter in to God's presence, to say, I want to give God my very best because that is essential to my identity. Where are you putting your time? What are you giving your talents to? I wanted to read to you, if you will, we're going to read a passage, which is one of the most powerful passages about worship, from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God, that he made us and that we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen. We are so thankful this morning to be able to celebrate the gifts. One of the things that we really celebrate is all of the kids that come and give, when they come, they participate through the acolytes. And so we have cards for the acolytes that we wanted to give to our acolytes because they come and they participate in our time of worship. And I'm trying to see where our acolytes are. They're upstairs? Okay. All of our acolytes are upstairs, so you can read them in the bulletin. But we have cards that we're going to give, we will hand out to all of our acolytes to thank them. I would encourage you to look through that list, identify who's there, and if you're passing them in the hall, if you're part of the community and you're just passing through, say thank you. If you said, I would love to be able to do that. I would love to be an usher or a greeter. Or I'd love to be a part, we're always looking for people to be a part of the worship committee to help shape our worship experience. Get in touch with these people. Be a part of the community. That's part of the purpose and the passion and the power that God makes available to you. Get involved. And God will speak to you in powerful ways. As we continue to worship, we want to offer God our very best. Let us continue to worship by the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings.